Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Konnichiwa here on the Last Choice Network. I am your host, Natalie, and today, filling in for Taylor, we have once again Jared. Welcome back, Jared.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and we wanted to talk today about live action adaptations, mostly coming from, the new live action Cowboy Bebop just released on Netflix, and we have only seen the first episode. So I know Jared has been holding out his opinions with me to save it for this episode. So I'll just go ahead and turn it over to you. What did you think of the first episode of the live action Cowboy Bebop?
I think the best way to put it is that it's good for what it is. So it's very I don't know if this is what they were going for, but it is very obviously like a live app action adaptation of an anime. Like some things look incredibly cheesy. I don't know if that's purposeful, but like the fighting scenes and some of how some of the lines are delivered are like so cheesy. Like it's not even that it's over the top. It's that it's like a 80s action movie.
Right. I
And
definitely noticed that too.
I can't tell if that's purposeful or not. That's the main thing. Because like Cowboy Bebop is like it's like that's what it is. It's like an act like a it's like a 80s action movie. So I don't know if they like purposefully did the acting like that or if that's just kind of how it went, like how it happened.
I think that it might be purposeful. I think some of it might be like a happy accident though, like at the same time, because obviously the script is written how it's written, and you can't take away some of it, right? Like obviously, like having Jet grab that woman's tit like in the first fight, like that's very purposeful, right? Like I mean that's very cheesy, very purposeful. But then some of the other like line delivery, I feel like it might also just be kind of a happy accident, or like the interactions between Asimov and Katarina, like those like super like kind of dramatic like look to each other and then kiss and all that. I think that's pretty purposeful too. And I think it does add to it. I mean, I think it makes it more engaging because it's like all right that it feels kind of satirical because I think that's kind of what it's trying to be. That's
See,
how I read it, at least.
that's my thing. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And that like I'm not sure is kind of what makes me about it. Like oh my God. Can't think about what his name is. It starts with an S and he was introduced at the very end of the first episode. It's not serious.
Looks like serious.
I can't remember what his name
I
is.
can't remember it either. I can't remember if they even said it. Like obviously he's a character because you had a reaction
Vicious,
whenever he's
vicious, vicious. That's what it
vicious.
was.
Okay.
Vicious looks awful. Like that, I'm not sugarcoating it at all. Vicious
No,
looks
he doesn't look
absolutely
good.
terrible.
He does not look good. I'm not even I don't really remember that character. Oh, I guess I should go ahead and disclaim that I have not watched all of the Cowboy Bebop animated series. I've only seen the first episode, and we both had to watch the Cowboy Bebop movie Knocking on Heaven's Door for class, which apparently this whole series is what it's like following, just like by the way. So if I seem like I don't know all the characters, that's why. But you've seen the original, right? Yeah, okay. Sorry,
It's
I
been
forgot to mention
a
that.
while. It's been a while, but yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, Vicious looks a little rough.
He does look a
Which
little rough.
okay. I think they could have just casted better. Which on casting. John Cho
Joe,
is the
yeah.
yes. Is he a good cast for it? I think yes. There are some times when he looks very old, though. Like, he is 54 years old, and some scenes he definitely looks it.
Yeah. I
Which
understand
I'm.
that. Because I definitely thought that too whenever they revealed the like John Cho as Spike Spiegel, because whenever I saw him like in the in the costume and the initial like promo, I was like, I mean, and everybody was so excited, so like but I was like, he and I was like, he kind of looks like a little old for Spike.
He
And I also,
does.
yeah, and also, I mean, I guess in the same vein, I don't actually know how old Spike is. Isn't he like in his twenties, thirties? I don't know.
I don't think they ever disclaim it, but he's probably in like his late 20s, early 30s, something like that. I mean, he's like a suave young guy. I was trying to think earlier today, I was trying to think of who to compare him to, but I couldn't come up with anyone.
I think that that Jet was cast well, and I think that Faye, I actually really liked,
I do too.
I really
It's
like how she's doing Faye.
yes.
Yeah.
So one thing you talked earlier about like using the script that they were given, since it is based off like they seem, from what I can tell, like from what I've seen like on Twitter and things like that, they literally do one-to-one like recreations of the anime. But there's something that I noticed immediately with Faye, and that's she says fuck a lot.
Yeah,
She
she's
says
got
fuck
a
a
dirty mouth.
lot. Yeah. Which I'm like, I don't mind that they included. I just think it's an interesting choice because she definitely did. I don't think she said it during, like, in the show. Oh, one more thing about, let's see. Yeah. Oh yeah, about the actors. It's interesting because like I think Jet was perfectly casted. But like everyone else kind of looks like a cosplayer. Like not exactly what the character looks like, and some of the costuming is like cosplay-ish. But especially with like Vicious. Vicious
Yeah,
especially.
with a nice, greasy white
I
wig.
know. Oh my gosh. This is like I saw a picture on Twitter where like he literally like makes like a PogChamp face like at one point in the show. But like so there's one other thing that I've seen pointed out that I think kind of stands to resonate with every single live action anime adaptation is that you just can't get the colors as vibrant. Anime is very vibrant in its colors. And like I've even like the Netflix Twitter has shown like side by side comparisons of like yes, these are like frame by frame exactly the same as the anime. But all it really is showing is that how much more drab and brown the live action adaptation is.
I will say that I think that it is also playing to like trying to make it look realistic though, because Cowboy Bebop, it's like this retro futuristic right? Like,
right.
take on space. And like, you know, the idea that like it isn't shiny and new. Like it is like kind of drab. And obviously in anime, like you can kind of play that off like with brighter colors, but if you're going for a live action or for something that looks maybe a little bit more realistic, it would be a little bit darker. Like I know I thought it was really impressive how they did the whenever they're flying through the first like spaceport.
Yeah.
And he and Jet is like you know, like talking to the I guess like what the gate control. Yeah, the attendants and like that little like just fly through. And yeah, like when you just look at it, it does look really like dark and drab and whatever. But like the actual like look of the technology, I think really fits with like the vibe that they are trying, or the aesthetic that like Cowboy Bebop is. It's just in a more realistic sense since it's live action.
I get that. It just seems that kind of like all live action adaptations, and actually no, I'll kind of extend that to a lot of American movies in general right now are very brown.
That's fair.
I mean, shoot, the best, I mean, Dune. Dune is still brown. Star Wars, super brown and gray.
Mm-hmm.
Not very much color. I mean, shoot, even like the Marvel movies are kind of looking drab, like this drab color. And it's just kind of a weird thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with like live action adaptations of like anime.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get the idea of, see, it's, they have this back and forth of, in one hand, they want it to look realistic. On the other hand, they have this over the top action scenes and like acting. They're kind of in this in between of like, do you want it to be exactly like the anime, or do you want it to be more like it's a standalone movie? Like, this is what Hollywood would make a movie like, you know?
Yeah, I get that. I do think that the Cowboy Bebop adaptation is trying a lot harder than previous adaptations that I've seen to like still have like the, I guess you could say like the heart of the anime in it. You know, cause I mean, we can talk about like, well, we've talked about casting's all right. Like it's not bad. The casting's not bad. The acting, I mean, you could say it's satirical. You could say it's cheesy, but it's not terrible, at least from what we've seen.
You don't have to dance around it. You can say it. Death Note, Netflix, live action.
Well, okay, what I'm trying to actually, what I was like, before we move on to other live action, because you are going to do that, I just wanted to, and the final point with Cowboy Bebop is actually talk about the camera work, because I think that the camera work adds a lot to making you feel like an anime, genuinely. Because, like, you can, whatever you think of satire, whenever you think of satirical movies, and I love watching satirical movies, personally, you know, like the dark comedy, like you're laughing but you don't know if you should be, kind of like stuff. And a lot of what brings the comedy back into that is in the camera work. It's in where you position the camera, your lighting, your lens. And I think that Cowboy Bebop is, or the live action is really trying to like play with that and trying to make it more interesting to look at, in the same way that the anime was trying to make it look like you're watching something from like a different perspective than most Westerners would watch a movie. And I really appreciate that about it. Like all the action sequences where the camera's like turning more than, you know, stuff like that, or where they position the camera sometimes for just whenever like they're talking to each other, having it off centered, or having like this like weird, like downward angle. Like, I feel like that all is very it's all very much like anime. Maybe in a way that we just don't think about because we're so used to seeing camera work that way in animation and not really in live action. So mm-hmm. I do think it's really cool that they are trying to like play with that. And especially since they chose Cowboy Bebop, which is more like an action comedy, right? Like yeah, it has a lot, you know, unlike, you know, we could move on to like Death Note, not really a comedy, right? Like there's not a lot of, you know, there's no use in really playing with the camera there because, I mean, it's all going to be really serious anyway, I guess. Yeah, that was my last point that I wanted to make about something that I appreciated about the live action Cowboy Bebop. I think that the camera work is really cool.
Okay.
Yeah, but then we did want to talk about other live action adaptations, not just the Cowboy Bebop one. So I can really only think of two that I've seen, and it is the Netflix Death Note and then the Ghost in the Shell adaptation with Scarlett Johansson. So, so I guess maybe it'll be easier to start with Death Note because I think that for it being a Netflix movie, I think that also it didn't have as high a budget, first of all. So maybe, I mean, not to like just try and give it a pass or anything, but you know, you got to look at it from all these like different perspectives, right?
Why is it bad?
Yeah, that's why is it bad?
We're ultimately getting to why is it so yes. bad?
Why is it bad? Because I think that's it's undeniably bad. Like it's yeah. it's bad as an adaptation. It's bad as a movie. Like as you know, even if you weren't into Death Note, and you just like saw this movie, it I mean it looks bad. It
yeah,
looks bad.
Like it doesn't. Yeah. I mean, we've talked to this. We've talked about this before. How the best part of the movie is Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, and he's like not even really utilized like properly in the movie. Yeah. Or his character, I should say his character, which is why, you know, he isn't. I only watched it whenever it first came out, so you know, it's been a while.
Right. I think I watched it twice maybe.
So I can only remember some of it. I you know, it's bits and pieces. Obviously it's nothing like the show at all.
Yeah. Like, I think we should. I think we should specifically point some things out.
Mm-hmm.
First the characters. Light Smith. Why? First the setting. Why did they Americanize it? There was no need to make it American.
It doesn't work. I mean, like, yeah. like the premise of the show literally stems from Japanese mythology, so it right away doesn't work. Like,
yeah, it's also, as you definitely know about this, a criticism of Japanese, like
capital punishment. Yeah, it doesn't work for many reasons. Culturally, it doesn't because. What made it so shocking in Japan was for reasons that aren't shocking to Americans, that that there would be a child, a well-off, you know, if financial, like a someone who had a stable home, stable financial situation, went to a good school, was smart, like someone who was on the right path, right? You could say that. Why would they want to do what Light did? You know, and the thing is that in America, that isn't a shocking question. We've seen it time and time again. That for a high schooler to want to do what Light did, it's not surprising. But it was an interesting question to pose to Japanese society. So I mean, that's just like right away. It doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
And then with the casting. So they changed the characters around. Good, bad. What do you think? mean, they yeah. made a decision. Let's rephrase this. They made the decision to that the adaptation is only going to be loosely based off of it. They're going to mm-hmm. change some things to make it Americanized.
Mm-hmm.
They made the decision to change characters around. Since it is American, they didn't just want a bunch of like exclusively Japanese actors and actresses.
Right.
What opinion? What is your opinion? Personally, I think it's bad. I think it was really bad. I understand what they were doing with it. I think it was a bad call. They should have just kept it Japanese.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely should have. I mean, basically, it's you can't even really compare it to the anime, like in any way, because the only constant is Ryuk. Like, and even then, it's very loosely in character, because I'm saying, like, as far as like characters go. So like you have Light Yagami, Light Smith. They're two very different people. Like it's not even like this is the Americanized Light Yagami, because they're not, because Light Yagami was a prodigy student, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't Light Smith like a loser. Like honestly. They don't compare the Misa character, completely different person.
Mm-hmm.
Even L is pretty different. I mean, I'm trying to remember now. L is pretty different. They like gave him like some action running scene and like
yes.
So it's just really hard to whenever it comes to trying to like compare.
I'm trying to remember. I almost like want to say that L was like a very aggressive like activist or something like that. I remember him being much more aggressive in
definitely he was
in the adaptation.
He definitely was. So, I mean, overall, the Death Note Netflix movie bad because it's just it's
out of 10, do not watch.
Yeah, it's a bad movie. It's a bad adaptation. It wasn't necessary. It. If you like Death Note, if you don't like Death Note, you don't know what Death Note is, I still wouldn't recommend it. Best part is Willem Dafoe, and that character was not utilized to its full potential.
I mean, you can't hate Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, Willem no, Dafoe. You can't. No, he did a great...
His voice was made for being scary monsters.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, is that he was actually cast pretty perfectly. His voice was perfect.
I mean, he's been casted as scary monsters a couple times.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's nothing new for him.
Yeah, I definitely think that they, again, with characters, I mean, they changed around Ryuk's personality quite a bit. Ryuk definitely seemed a lot more evil. And in Death Note, Ryuk is not an evil character. He might seem like it. He's just very passive. He doesn't try to stop evil, but he isn't inherently evil himself. But in the live action, they actually made him pretty like seem pretty devious, mm-hmm. even though in the anime he doesn't necessarily have devious intent. So then with the other one that I've seen, which is Ghost in the Shell, Scarlett Johansson, obviously a very different movie, a very different take on trying to adapt an anime, unlike the Death Note one. You could say it probably falls more in line with Cowboy Bebop, just in that they were really like trying to like adapt a movie, right?
It's the medium. It's the medium between Cowboy Bebop trying to be the literal and or Cowboy Bebop's trying to be a carbon copy,
mm-hmm.
while Death Note was trying to be an Americanized version.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Ghost in the Shell, kind of the in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, obviously, right off the bat, I mean, when it came out, obviously casting, that was the whole thing. Scarlett Johansson is not Asian. Yeah, I mean that's really just that. I mean, it's especially since there are there are a lot of Asian actors and actresses in the movie. The fact that the main character of Ghost in the Shell wasn't Asian was really just it was a publicity thing, you know, it was an advertising thing. Obviously you want to get a big name actress on your movie to make it sell more, while all the other characters can be people of color, but your main one can't be, because that's your selling point. It's just that whole idea. So I mean, obviously, like, that's bad. I shouldn't have done that. You could say that you can understand why they did it, but it still, in the long run, wasn't good.
Yeah, the thing that made it especially weird and especially obvious is that this scene wasn't in the show or in the movie, but there's a part in the live action movie where she goes and meets her parents.
Oh yeah.
And her parents are very Asian.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was the biggest like, what the hell part in the movie.
Yeah.
Because everything else in the movie honestly wasn't that bad.
I know, like, it's like,
for what it was a good sci-fi action movie.
I know, and you know, that was always like the kind of like nervous thing where it's like, I understand what's wrong with the film, but okay, I go ahead and preface this. I've seen Ghost in the Shell twice. Both times, I'm pretty sure I've fallen asleep during some part of it.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have watched Ghost in the Shell 4 times. Like the original Ghost in the Shell, I have fallen asleep every single time in basically the exact same spot.
Yeah, so this is to say that we both are in the boat that Ghost in the Shell, the original Ghost in the Shell, not exactly our favorite animated movie. We recognize its importance, but not exactly our favorite animated movie, our favorite anime movie. Just a disclaimer for maybe it's some.
It's not necessarily bad. It's just boring. It just gets really boring at a very specific spot in the movie.
Yes, the beginning of the original Ghost in the Shell, very good. Ending, good, yeah. Ending also pretty good, but there is somewhere in the middle where you're just kind of, you lose me. Personally,
it's just like only dialogue, and it's all like really boring dialogue.
So, swinging this back around to the live action, though, basically, what I was trying to convey is that the live action did keep me entertained for longer.
I think that there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, American media and Japanese media, very different.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I was saying about like how it's the in-between, is that they definitely knew their audience, because there are a lot more action scenes and a lot less philosophy talk in the live-action adaptation.
Yes, the original Ghost in the Shell is a lot of philosophy talk. It's a lot of, you know, what makes a human kind of thing. Because I guess if you didn't know, the main plot of Ghost in the Shell is Major Kusanagi, main character, is an android, was once human, and has had her body altered pretty severely.
Yeah, and I think
she's just trying to work through, like, if she's still herself and if she's still human. But that's, like, the plot.
Yeah, I think her only like human parts are like her spine and her brain.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. I was just gonna say that. Yeah. So live action did keep me entertained for longer. I remember even whenever I was watching it, I was kind of like, this actually isn't that bad. You know, I was like, as I was watching it, some of it is definitely like kind of cringy. I mean, like, you could say it's even like taking from maybe some of the cringy aspects of the original, like her nude bodysuit. Like, that's kind of like kind of cringy, but it is from the original like source content.
So I think something that's really interesting is how, so Japan has been making live action adaptations of anime for a while, for a good while. And like, with the exception of some, a lot of them are genuinely pretty good. I mean, obviously there's fucking Dragon Ball Evolution, which is really bad. But then on the other side, there's like the Rurouni Kenshin movie that's not that bad. And like, I've heard that like the live action Assassination Classroom isn't bad. Like, there are also a couple, like the live action JoJo is supposed to be good. So there are a lot of like good adaptations from Japan, but the question is, why is America making live action adaptations of anime? Because like, there's not really, from what to my understanding, there's not really the flip side of that. Like, we're not seeing Die Hard anime. Like, we're not seeing anime of like James Bond. Yet we're seeing Hollywood adaptations of anime.
I do think that while that is true, it's not as extreme, because we do, first of all, we're getting a lot of adaptations right now. Like, go ahead and say it. We're getting a lot of adaptations right now, either of American content or content from overseas. But I will say that in regards to what you're saying about like there not being any like anime versions of American content, I actually think that superhero content, Marvel, DC, is actually animated quite frequently in Japan. What I'm thinking of is just like the anime Wolverine series, which is like Wolverine in Japan. I haven't seen it. It's from a while ago, but I know like it exists, I guess is what I'm saying. So like, I'm also sure that there are other like superhero content that they have like adapted and taken into like anime. Yeah,
but I mean, there's also like American manga styled or anime styled like Marvel content of like, it looks like it's from Japan but it's still from America. It's a really weird, like, I mean, like Teen Titans, for example. Like, Teen Titans was very, like anime inspired, but that's still an American, I believe.
Yeah. It's a DC, so.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But yeah, so it's just kind of weird that we're seeing. I mean, shoot, we have American Train to Busan. There's probably gonna be an American Squid Game.
I think that it really just comes down to be quite frank, just a lack of ideas, a lack of creativity, imagination, a lack of wanting to spend money on like in Hollywood, a lack of wanting to fund projects, fund original projects whenever you know that something that has already been sold can sell as well as it did if you just remake it. And, you know, and everybody thinks that, oh, it's going to be different. It's going to be what? They think it's going to be better. Like, I don't exactly understand that frame of mind, like behind it. But, I mean, it's all about money. It's all about what's the fastest way to earn the most amount of money, the cheapest way to earn the most amount of money even. Which is why I think that it is a trend of of American like media wanting to recreate foreign media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. This isn't super anything that has really any relevancy to like what we were just talking about, but this, it is a live action. How much time we got left?
We should probably be wrapping up soon.
Okay, so this will be my last thing, just because I wanted to include it. I wanted to include it at some point, but I didn't know where. So my first, like, what I realized was probably my first American live action adaptation of an anime is actually the movie Edge of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So you might remember it from its its catchphrase, live, die, repeat. And it's from a manga called All You Need Is Kill. The thing is, it is so drastically different that you would not be able to tell that it was based off of the manga at all. Like, who even was... Yeah, it was Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise
was the main character.
Mm-hmm.
But in, like, the manga, they're, like, teenagers.
Yeah. I do remember learning about that, that it was based off of a manga, and that it was even kind of promoted more as an adaptation in Japan.
Yes.
Like, they had a different title. They it went through so many titles to try and figure out how closely they wanted it to relate back to this manga. Because the other thing is that, if I remember correctly, this manga... it wasn't like a big, it wasn't super popular in Japan, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
Or was it just that it was like a, like from a small publishing company? I want to say that it was something where it wasn't like, you know, wasn't made by, like, it wasn't a published, that's what I'm looking for. It wasn't like published by a big company. So there were also like kind of disputes about that, you know, like you got to give it its fair due. For inspiration. But yeah, it's definitely like considered a not anime exactly, but it's an adaptation of a manga that it's like so loose that you don't even realize it.
Yeah. We'll end it with this. All I want is a live action Akira.
That would be really interesting. I don't know if they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just wanted to end it with, if you are looking, or wondering, curious about the, Netflix Cowboy Bebop, I would say go ahead and give it a try. It's not bad. It's not like the Netflix Death Note, which I wouldn't suggest at all. But I think even if you aren't a fan of Cowboy Bebop or aren't a fan of anime, I think you would find it funny, at least. Maybe you'd like some action comedy. Think it's pretty entertaining. But that's this episode of Kenichiha. Thank you for joining us. You can find us on all podcast platforms now. We're trying to release episodes every Tuesday. Sorry for the little gap between our last episodes. We will probably be taking some time off for the holidays. Keep you posted on that. You can follow us on Twitter. That's it. Yeehaw.